The title of my message, and I don't generally give titles, but the title of my message is Practicing the Presence of God. And so if you'll turn to Exodus, the third chapter, Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 5, it says, and he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. We're talking about God talking to Moses from a burning bush. I could spend the whole preaching time just talking about that, how he saw a bush burning, but it wasn't consumed. The pyrotechnics brought him to the bush, and then God spoke to him from that. There are people who come to church because they knew God does miraculous things here, and they come maybe with a need, and then they hear from God. And then Joshua, the fifth chapter, and verse number 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. So God talks to Moses. God talks to his replacement, Joshua, and says the same thing. And then Genesis, the 28th chapter. Joshua 28 and verse number 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word, on the tithes and the offering, on your people, God. We're just gracious, grateful that we could be in this place tonight, rubbing elbows with angels and feeling your presence in this place. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, because we spend so much time in church, not like a lot of denominations, but we spend quite a bit of time with each other in this building, both the worship and also the fellowship. I had a friend of mine who has been trying to get a hold of me for some reasons, and I said, well, let's meet at church, and I'll give you the tour. He's 88 years old, still plays tennis at 88. He's been a professional, college graduate, and we got in here. He was just amazed at the building. He said, I read my Bible every day, and I'm open. He said, I'm open to more. At 88, he's open to more. You see? Glory to God. It's easy for us to think of the sanctuary as a commonplace because we're so familiar with it, we're here all of the time, or a gathering place for people in the church, but God calls it a holy place. The word holy here means a sacred place, a place that is set aside just for the presence of Almighty God. And even more importantly, it is a place for his name, and it is a place for his truth. To us, it is a place that we meet God in his greatest dimension, Therefore, the sanctuary deserves our greatest respect. Hallelujah. Jacob awakened in a place that he called Bethel, meaning the house of God. Didn't have walls, but it was called the house of God. And I think most of us were awakened in the house of God. We were awakened to the things of God. Maybe we went to church all part of our life, but we were never awake to the spiritual things. At first, Jacob felt it was a dreadful place, and then he realized, hey, this is the gate of heaven. I talked to somebody today for a long time that used to be in the church. I even pastored him and his family for a while. And now church isn't important. I just get my needs over YouTube. And I said, you know what? It's not enough. God said we should gather together in a place, a sanctuary, if you will. Hallelujah. We realize that whenever God comes to meet us, we are standing on holy ground, whether it's in this place or whether it's at home or on the road. Genesis 28 and 18, Jacob set up a pillar or a memorial stone, something that would never be moved, that he could go back to and relive that experience, and then poured oil over that which was not to be moved. We have landmarks. The reason we have anointing is because we haven't removed the landmarks. We haven't changed the standards. And as a result, there's a great anointing. But we start changing. We move the rock. No more oil. Because that's where God anoints. And the reason we continue to be faithful in the house of God is because of the anointing and the powerful presence of God, not because we have a beautiful building or we just like to see each other. I see the shadow and type here, that when we are especially in trouble or afraid, it's the best time to run to the house of the Lord. I've got problems, you know. I know people like to stay home because they're not feeling well, but, you know, that's what hospitals are for. And I believe that's also what the sanctuary is for. You know, there's healing properties here. Here Jacob is running from everything that he was comfortable with. When we come into the church, it changes our world. We're not as comfortable as we once were. His family was against him because he put a greater value on the things of God that they did not. You know, when you say, I want to live for God more than the people that you've been associated with, now all of a sudden they don't like you because they don't want to be pushed into that same commitment that you're making. He felt like he was all alone, and as he slept, God came to him in a dream. So let's go back to Genesis 28. Starting in verse 15. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places. All places. Whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel, or the house of God. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and I will keep and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This whole narrative is a shadow and type that reaches into our life of how each and every one of us really find God. When we have a greater desire to have a relationship with God, there's this spiritual awakening. I say it all the time. On the day you seek me with all your heart, that's the day you find me. Well, when you get to that place where I just don't want to play church, I want to be church, all of a sudden God wakes us up. And then he sets up situations in our life that you know could not be a coincidence. You know that God is showing you certain things. And find ourselves in a dreadful place at first, but a place that we can get saved in. And here the Bible calls the house of God the gate of heaven. And I've heard people say, someday I want to stand before the gate of heaven. Well, you've been standing at the gate tonight. We're in that place. There's a runway right here. And there's nothing to be afraid of. It's a new beginning, a place of spiritual awakening. And you can get as alive as you want in the things of God. There's no limitations except how far do you want to go, you see. Based on what I read here, Jacob didn't expect God to drop in the middle of the night. You know? How many have had that experience where God just dropped in the middle of the night, awakened you, and gave you information? I wonder how many times I've gotten up in the middle of the night, run to my den to write down some of the things that God has given me. Jacob didn't realize that he was at the gate of heaven. It shocked him that God was so real in a time when he felt so alone. It seems like when we feel so alone and so desperate and so inadequate, then all of a sudden God just drops into our life. You know, sometimes God just sneaks up on people. When I go down into the basement, that's where our laundry room is, and if my wife is down there in the laundry, I have to make some noise before I get into the laundry room because I can't tell you how many times there's been screams because I scared her. Maybe God should ring a doorbell before he, you know. But how many times have I been in conversation with somebody or just driving in my car thinking about God and all of a sudden I'm on holy ground. There's a presence of God. He just couldn't resist because of what's going on in my life. And even greater than that, there have been times where I haven't even been thinking about God. And all of a sudden, I'm practicing the presence of God. There doesn't have to be a lot of noise. I know camp is coming up, and we have a tendency to have evangelists. Let's come on, let's get excited. Noise doesn't always equate with the presence of God. You could just have a still, quiet voice of God. God often comes to people in unexpected moments and unexpected ways, in the middle of the night or in the middle of a crisis. We are many times under the misconception that if we don't feel his presence or aren't experiencing a demonstration of his spirit, that he really isn't there. But he is. Jacob said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I didn't even know it. I don't know if you felt something tonight. I felt the presence of God. But if you didn't feel the presence of God in this place tonight, no. He was right next to you. God is right with us. What we need to work on is our ability to become God conscious. that we're God conscious, not only when we're in church, but God conscious no matter where we go. Have a flat tire, God conscious. And that is all about being sensitive in the spirit, not in just the knowledge of God. Yes, I know who he is. I know how great he is. I know how miraculous he is. I know the things that he's prepared for us. But that's not enough. The knowledge isn't enough. I need to be sensitive to his presence. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. First Corinthians 2 and verse number 11, it says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." God wants to share some stuff with us, some insights, some miraculous, if we're sensitive to what he wants to tell us. "Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." But here's the dilemma. "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." I wonder how many times I've sat down with the Bible with people who seemingly wanted more truth, and as I laid it out as simply as I possibly could, I don't get it. Why? They don't want to get it. See, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Thank God I had an open mind. Thank God, I if there's more for me, I want more. "But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I'm thinking about God. You know, with today's technology, we have the ability to produce a picture of a license plate from a satellite. You know, incredible. Talk about people watching us, able to record the smallest details of activities that are on Earth. What if God had access to that kind of technology? He's not looking at us from 10,000 feet. He's right there. He is right next to you. When? All the time. Hallelujah. I mean, here's a foolish thought. You know, this week hasn't been good. This month hasn't been good. This year hasn't been good. I'm not coming to church because I just don't want to confront God. You fool. God is there all of the time. You can't run from God. Adam, where are you? Did God know where he was? We must develop a sensitivity to the activities of God before we are aware of his presence among us. Listen, God is always, always active among us, always wanting to act with each and every one of us. He's looking for somebody that he can talk to. But we are limited by this carnal orientation that obscures our insight into the realm of the Spirit. Why would God want to talk to me? Because he bought you. Because he lives inside of you. Not because you've been extra good this week, because you're a vessel that he wants to occupy and interact with, you see. Well, maybe next week when I'm better. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles, the 16th chapter, verse number 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's watching you. To show himself strong. And that word strong there means to fasten on in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect or friendly towards him. You know, the Bible says if you want to have friends, you have to make yourself friendly. If you want to be close to God, you need to, you know, be friendly towards God. God, would you like to talk to me? You know, prayer meetings shouldn't be a monologue. It should be a dialogue between you and God, you see. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, when we get the Holy Ghost, we get a receiver. You know, walkie-talkie. We can receive signals from God anytime we want. We must be in tune with, spiritually, with God at all times. I'm listening. I'm like, God is surveying us. He's tuning into what we're thinking of, but we have to be in tune with God. Have you ever tried to listen to a radio station when it wasn't really tuned in? Just a bunch of static. It doesn't make any sense at all, so you just turn it off. Well, we have to fine-tune into God. In the morning, God, what would you have me to do? Do you have a list for me? Is there someone you want to direct me to? I don't want to hear static. I need direction. To be constantly aware of the presence of God is a wonderful thing, a door to another world at any moment and any time, and be that ambassador ready to listen. At one time, I just wasn't aware of his presence, and that doesn't mean that God wasn't there. He was, but I just wasn't tuned in to what he wanted. I didn't even think that God could talk to me. Remember that old childhood prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep, and if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, we all could have been there, you know, dead before we ever got awake. And I was dead when I walked into a Pentecostal church, and suddenly I realized this is the gate to heaven. This is God's house. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. Amen. I love to see visitors in the house of the Lord because God is really trying to wake them up. See things, hear things, experience things. I wonder how many times I've said, God, if I don't feel your presence at all today, would you have a powerful presence on this visitor? We often restrict finding God to a particular time and place. And that's got to be removed from our cranium, that God is just limited to one place or one time, like a church service. But most interruptions by God in the lives of people in the Bible were not in the temple, but on the street, in their homes, when they were all by themselves. You know, Samuel hears a voice of God, and he thinks it's the priest Eli. And he comes and said, did you want me? Did you want me? Finally, after the third time, the priest says, hey, go back. That's God talking to you. Hallelujah. We can get so sensitive to know that God wants us to move this way or that way or to talk to somebody. We need to be aware of God's presence and that he wants to interrupt our day with some thoughts, with a touch. God has a lot of surprises for us if we're sensitive to his presence. And that's what makes it exciting to live for God. You know? Hallelujah. That I'm not just directed by an employer. I'm not directed by the mundane things that I have to do. But all of a sudden, there's a sensitivity to what God wants me to do. And we can't just be marking time and stumbling over opportunities that we have missed. And I have done that. God has impressed me to go talk to somebody. And I thought, well, that's just me, you know, or do this or call this individual. Somebody called me today I haven't seen in years. And just this week, that name came to my mind. Well, I didn't call him, but he was more sensitive to call me. Glory to God. God does not announce ahead of time when he's going to bring an opportunity in our life, but suddenly the moment's there, and then we need to respond to it. Here's the deal. If we respond to that unction of God, then you're going to get more of an unction from God, and then more of an unction of God, because he really does want to interact with each and every one of us. Not, well, just, Pastor, just tell me what God said, and not good enough. We must understand that God never sends an opportunity unless he wraps it in a problem. When Joseph went to meet his brothers in the field, he didn't know that on that day he would be thrown into a pit, sold as a slave, taken to Egypt, put in prison. I mean, he's living for God. He's even getting dreams from God. But he was aware of the presence of God, which comforts him, knowing that, okay, God knows all about this. I don't have to go to a higher court. I know that all things work together for good for me. In every circumstance, he never lost consciousness of the presence of God. In every circumstance, he never lost the understanding that God knew exactly what he was going through, and that's what took him through step by step in all of these problems. And if we're really confident that God knows what's going on in our life, well, then we can go through them. Joseph lived every day as an explorer of God's will. He didn't merely mark time and stumble over opportunities. He was living, not sleeping, living in the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Is this too hard tonight? I want to enjoy my experience with God. If you're married, you know, there has to be an interaction. If there isn't, the marriage is in trouble. And if we're living for God and there's no interaction with God, except that when we come to church, hear the word of God or some nice music that we can clap our hands to, it's not enough. It's not enough. If church, we can always be aware of the presence of God, no matter where we are, we can get through any circumstance that we're going through. Until one day, like Joseph, the Pharaoh wants to see you. Now, your dream has come and it's become a reality because you have been living in the presence of God. And by that night, he was given a royal robe, his own golden chariot, a new house, and a new position, second in command to the most powerful nation in the world. And don't think that God doesn't reward us because we have confidence in him and his presence. And if we're talking to God and he's talking to us, we can go through anything, folks. Not because he was betrayed by his brothers. That wasn't a reward. Not because he was a slave. Not because he was living in jail all those years. But because he was always living in the presence of God. He took confidence in that. And he ministered to those who were in the same position that he was, but without God. Amen. A person that is aware of God will always be thrilled at everything that happens in their life because you know you're going to get the victory. David was a man after God's own heart, not that he didn't have problems and even failures like I talked about Sunday morning, but he was always aggressively seeking the face or the attention of God all of the time. So he could go through those things. And if you look at the book of Psalms, it's all about praising God. Well, my, you've gone through more than most people will ever go through, and yet you're still praising God? But he was seeking the face of God. So if you look at Psalms 27, Psalms 27, verse number 8. And when thou sittest, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, I will seek. Hide not thy face or presence far from me, but put thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, unto the Lord. Verse 1 of that 28th. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands towards thy holy oracles. Hallelujah. So he's saying, don't be silent unto me. I really believe there are people who just do not believe that God wants to talk to them on a regular basis. No, in an audible voice, rarely. But you can detect the voice of God within your spirit and in your mind. How do you think we have someone operating in the gifts of the Spirit? God's talking to them, and then they're bringing in a message. David was aware that whatever he went through, God was right there with him. He couldn't overcome his problems, but the one he was with could overcome his problems. Amen. Back to Psalms again, the 16th chapter. Psalm 16 and verse number 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or the grave, neither wilt thou suffer mine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. Is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Feeling a little sad? Get into the presence of God. Hallelujah. It's so simple. We've been having some awesome song services, awesome moves of God, not because of the mechanics of what we're doing, but it's because of our awareness of the holy presence of Almighty God. We come in here expecting to be touched by God, expecting a move of God's Spirit. All we need is like three Sundays where we're just not expecting God and we just push on, you know, without a move of God. If we lose our awareness of God, then we become like any other group of people with no inspiration, no power, no joy, no excitement at all. God will not be a part of something we take credit for, you see. We can't make church. We can't program church at all. And believe me, there are plenty of churches that just will entertain people, but they won't entertain God. Amen. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. First Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse number 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. We're pretty special. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody compliments you and what you've done for God, give it to God. Give it to God. You know, I don't know why he even used me, you know? And then chapter 2, it just goes on. Verse number 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, this is probably the greatest preacher in the whole Bible. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Every service, we should be looking for a move and a power of God. The visitor should be overwhelmed, not because of the oratory, not because of even the content of the preaching, but the move of God's Spirit. Ordinary people never change the world, but fanatics do. And if you will stop just being ordinary and step out from the crowd with an awareness of God, we'll make a difference. There are people all around us who have no clue as to the power and the presence of God. And all we have to do is tell them. I'm so grateful somebody got in my face. Irritated me. It was dreadful. Till I recognized, hey, this thing could save me. So let's be awake and aware of the glory of the Lord on us and in us. And our last scripture as our musicians come is in the book of Acts, chapter 2. There is so much in that first message that was preached at Pentecost. It's unbelievable. You know, I've often thought, did Peter have his notes all put together before he was filled with the Holy Ghost? Or was it holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost? Verse 25, it says, "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance or presence." Hallelujah. You know, why do we have to have such a long worship on a Wednesday night? There are some churches that maybe one, two songs, get into the message, get out of here so we can go do whatever we have to do. No, you see, the purpose of that is that we have joy in the presence of God. We all come in here lacking something. But if we get face to face with God,
yes,
we get into his presence.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, I've said this before. It's a personal thing. The Sunday night I got the Holy Ghost, and I had a lot of problems with some things that I was trying to accomplish. And I remember going home and thinking, I don't care what happens. It doesn't matter. This is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. Nothing else matters. But a year or two down the road, you can pick up these things and forget all about the joy of the presence of God, the peace that passes all understanding.
Thank you, Lord.
I need to maintain that, or I'll die spiritually. There are empty spaces in here because somebody died because they didn't maintain the presence of God in their lives. Practicing the presence of God is more important than your ministry. It is. Glory to God. Thanks for listening. Would you stand?